Accountability, investing. Two words not often heard together. At Schwab, we stand behind what we say and what we do. If accountability matters to you, talk to us today. Charles Schwab, own your tomorrow.
A few drips of good news greeted residents of West Virginia today, but the fallout from last week's chemical spill is far from over.
There's finally relief for some of the 300,000 West Virginians who've been unable to drink, cook, or even bathe with tap water for 5 days. Governor Earl Ray Tomblin announced today that test results are now below toxic levels.
The numbers we have today look good, and we're finally at a point where the do not use order is being lifted in certain areas. We've made a lot of progress, but I ask all West Virginians to continue to be patient as we work to safely restore service to the affected areas.
It can't happen soon enough for people who scrounged for ice and bottled water over the weekend. More than 230 visited emergency rooms, complaining of exposure symptoms. 14 were admitted. Still, some were undaunted. A local beauty pageant went on as planned.
We cannot take showers, so some girls were using water bottles to wash their hair, using a lot of dry shampoo, baby powder, lots of hairspray and teasing.
The crisis began Thursday when 7,500 gallons of the chemical 4-methylcyclohexane methanol leaked from a storage tank at Freedom Industries. Some of the substance used in coal processing escaped a containment area and ran into the Elk River, just upstream from the region's water treatment plant. The breach shut down the water supply in 9 West Virginia counties, an area that includes Charleston. The plant is not subject to state inspections, but local leaders now say there were obvious problems.
You can actually see where there were cracks in it, where the chemical came through it. The condition of the plant was not good. The danger was known to the previous owner, and the danger was known to the current owner.
Federal authorities have opened an investigation of the Freedom Industries site. Meanwhile, the water company is watching contamination levels downstream.
Water sampling continues on the Elk, Kanawha, and Ohio rivers to detect any evidence of chemical. We expect there will be considerable dilution in the rivers that will work in our favor and mitigate the impact of the spill on the water in Huntington.
As for Charleston, water officials say the licorice odor may linger for a while as water service is restored in stages.
We turn now to Ashton Mara. She is in Charleston and has been covering the spill for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I spoke with her a short time ago. Ashton Mara, thank you for talking with us. So what is the very latest?
The very latest is now 2 zones have been approved to open and begin flushing out their homes and their businesses and able to use water again. Now, those zones have been prioritized, as West Virginia American Water President told us earlier today, to zones that include hospitals and the highest population density areas. So zone 1 and 2 have been approved to start the flushing process. Both of those include major hospitals.
And tell us in brief, what is this flushing process?
Basically, the flushing process is a 3-step method. First of all, you're turning on your hot water faucets for 15 minutes, and then you're turning on your cold water for 5 minutes, and then you have to go through the process of cleaning and flushing all of the appliances in your home that use water. There's a very, very detailed list. Things like washing machines, dishwashers, ice makers, any type of water filters. There's a detailed process for each of those appliances. So this is something that's not really very easy. It might not be common sense, or there might be things that people could forget. So it's very important for West Virginians who are able to start using their water again to check on those protocols, and West Virginia American Water has made those available.
But once they do this process, they're then able to drink the water?
We have been told that once they go through the process, completely flushing out of their homes and their businesses, the water is good for use. The tests that are coming out of the treatment facility show that the water is testing at a safe level, safe for consumption, safe for use, safe for bathing. So anything after you get all of that water out of your home system, the water is good to go. No further precautions need to be taken.
Ashton, you've been reporting on this story since it started a few days ago. How are people finally, how are they holding up?
I think people have been frustrated, to say the least. This is obviously a hard time for everyone, but I can say that emergency management officials have really been handling this very well. People who are stuck in their homes, the elderly, maybe sick, they haven't had to do anything. They have had water and supplies delivered straight to them. Now, as far as businesses go, you have to think about these people who work in restaurants, who are making minimum wage. This is a difficult time for them because they haven't been working. But we do have some lawmakers who are putting a campaign together, asking West Virginians as they return to these restaurants to tip a little bit extra. Think of those people who are struggling to make ends meet and have lost a few days of work and need a little bit of extra help. But we are recovering and we will get there slowly.
Well, I know that's good news to everybody involved and all of us watching. Ashton Mara with West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Thank you.
Thank you.
A number of questions have been raised about the regulation and oversight involved in this case and other recent accidents in the region. Coral Davenport has been reporting on those as the energy and environment correspondent for the New York Times. Coral Davenport, welcome to the program. As we just reported, this plant was not subject to state inspections. Why not?
Judy, it turns out the plant hadn't been inspected since 1991, but that was legal under West Virginia state law. The state law stipulates that because this was a storage facility rather than a production or manufacturing facility, it was not subject to any regulations, inspection, permitting. And so one of the first developments that's come from this is an immediate call to change the state regulation. The governor and the head of the state environment department are talking about introducing some legislation that would at least firm up that that inspection process, that would add annual inspections to storage facilities. But there are a lot of complaints broadly about the regulatory environment in West Virginia, and also West Virginia's history of accidents and disasters related to the chemical and coal industry.
Now, we also just heard the county commissioner, I think it was, said that the current owner of this plant and the previous owner knew, he said, that the conditions were poor in this plant. What is known about the state of this plant?
Well, that's sort of slowly unfolding, or more rapidly unfolding. As we go on, the Attorney General has launched an investigation, and although we don't yet know, there haven't yet been allegations of violations or any kind of criminal allegations, the Attorney General's office did say that when you have a spill or a disaster or an accident of this magnitude, they're almost certain to find major violations, possibly a violation of the law.
Any evidence of previous accidents there?
Not that we've seen, not that we've seen from these particular companies. What's interesting, again, is, this facility has a clean record from the EPA, no record of violations whatsoever, but that's also because there haven't been any inspections. So, its record is clean, but there really isn't anything, there hasn't been any inspections to make that record.
And what about the fact that this is a plant, a storage plant for chemical, but it's located on a river and very close to a water treatment plant?
On a river, just a couple miles up from a water treatment plant. Again, this is something where a lot of local advocacy groups who've been pushing on this for a while say this is an example of sort of a systemic environment of lax regulations in West Virginia. This is an area, the Kanawha Valley, is known as Chemical Valley because the chemical industry is the core central part of its economy. It has major chemical plants, companies like Dow, like DuPont. These are very influential both in the region and in state politics. So this is kind of one of the reasons that These outside groups are saying, you know, these chemical companies seem to have a lot more influence in weakening regulations than necessarily the push by environmental advocates. And again, this is just in this area, this area known as Chemical Valley. This is the third chemical accident in 5 years.
Well, we are going to leave it there. A lot of questions being raised, for sure. Coral Davenport with The New York Times. Thank you.
Good to be here. Thanks.